Right, this is going to be another episode of Hot Take Point Made with me, Maui, and Cassad here. So, obviously, people understand the premise. We come up with the hot takes, blah, blah, blah. We still haven't done that good a job, I'll notice, of actually keeping track of who gets them wrong and right, whatever. Maybe we'll improve that in the future. Luckily, I think the switch to CSGO to CS2 means that people don't really, if you notice, care about any of the ones we had from CSGO. I feel like everyone's just decided that's like past and now we're just on to CS2 narratives.
We should just do an end of the year recap. End of the year, give something like some reflection episode, because that's usually when all the lists come out and you can really go back on some of those takes, because a lot of them are like by the end of the year, generally speaking.
Talk here.
Yeah, I don't have anything against it.
Who's going to start then? What's the first hot take?
I'll do it. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the hot subject is Falcons, right? Mm. And then all the lineups and the things that are happening and everything. So my hot take is that based on the current information that we all have, that's publicly known, Falcons are not going to make the first CS2 major, no matter what the lineup is.
Okay.
Now, the reason for that, the reason why I'm saying that is simply just like, look at the state of their team right now. They have nothing, pretty much. They have Borosh and they have Magisk.
Yes.
Obviously, they have their coach, but they don't have anything. Now, Nico wasted, I think you and me, Duncan, talked about this. Nico wasted their like whole month trying to get to the team and not getting there at the end and then coming back to G2 and whatever, right? So I don't think there's going to be enough time for them to find a proper player that's going to replace, you know, that role, that's going to be, you know, filling those shoes that were supposed to be filled by Nico. On top of that, they don't have an opper that can go to right now that can deliver such an impact for the team, because the opper right now needs to be an opper and a rifler because of the current state of CS2. On top of that, they don't have enough time and they don't have another player as well. So what is it, like 15th November now, and it's going to be like a player break in a month. So that leaves what, maybe 2 weeks practice before the open qualifier for the RMR, because I assume Snappy's deal is pretty much done or whatever is about to be done, but you're still missing a couple of players. You still need to get the right infrastructure. You start practicing, you need to start developing the game and all these things. And we know how contracts work in CS. Like, it's so slow, it's so stupid. These agents are like, you know, trying to get maximum, and there's always back and forth, and somebody is like super delayed and nobody wants to pay that much money. It's just a mess, right? So it's going to take a lot of time, and people don't practice. Like, if you don't buy somebody from a team, he's not going to be allowed to practice with your team. So they don't have a full squad, they don't have enough time, the player break is around the corner. Even if they want to play, they don't have anybody to play against that's going to be, you know, at any kind of level they want to, you know, play against to be ready for the qualifiers. So my point is that they're not going to make it. I would even go that far to say they're not even going to have a lineup by the time the open qualifiers start.
Okay, bold. What do you think, Maui?
I'll say they could probably put together a lineup. I mean, in the HLTV confirm where Zonic talked about the roster and everything like that, it seemed like he was in some ways actually doing them a service by saying, you guys can look around, but then he said that we might actually bring some of them back onto the team. As it stands right now, the people that I know are going to be moving forward with this Falcons roster seem to be Boros, Magisk, and Snappy. So that's your core three. I will say that is not nearly as strong as when they were targeting Twist, Monacy, and Nico. And that team would have, I would say that's a guarantee to make the major. But this one is, it does draw some questions. I will say that if they play with Boros, Magisk, and Snappy, and then I have to assume they're not going to find another opper, so I'm going to say they're going to play with MHL. And then I don't know who their fifth would be between NBK, Body, or Lonks. But I actually think if they play with, I would probably take like NBK or Lonks. It depends what you want. Do you want stability in a player like NBK, or do you want a player with a little bit more potential like Lonks? I think that team can make, like, I would give them like a, what percentage? Just bare a smidgen over 50%. Like, I would be pretty shaky. I would be pretty on the ropes if I were like trying to defend that team in terms of saying like they're going to definitely make it. But having the core of Snappy and Magisk is already, to me, pretty good. And I think that when you look at some of the other players there, like Boros and what he was able to do before, he hasn't been as good lately. I'll just put that out there. Like, Boros hasn't been as good as what we saw when he was playing with Monty, but he's still He still can be a force, and I would imagine that if anybody's going to find the most value or get the most out of him, it will be someone like Snappy. So I still think that there's a good chance that they would qualify for the major, but it is still such a huge drop off from a team that we thought was going to somehow just swoop into the scene, start winning every single tournament because they poached every good player from every other team, and it is a far cry from that.
I gotta ask you before Duncan goes on. Like, do you believe that they actually be that lineup? You know, Boros, Snappy, Magisk, MHL plus whoever, or maybe somebody else. They can have enough time to go through all these things, have a map pool that's halfway decent, go through the cutthroat open qualifier, best of ones, then to the close qualifier, then into the RMR, and then into the major with so much little time. I don't think so. I don't think they can do it.
I mean, the Falcons team with Kenny S and all of them was one match away from making it to the major last
CSGO.
time.
CSGO.
That's true. That's true. But that team was so much weaker, and that had NBK, Body, and who, I mean, Kenny S, obviously. Like, it had Masuda on that team, actually. So I think that the European RMR is tough to get through for sure. Like, teams that we know are of the top tier can still fall out in that one. But I don't know if the competition is stiff enough that I'm too worried about a team that has the core of Magisk and Snappy. Like, I think that's a really, really good starting duo at the bare minimum.
I'm going to side with Cassad on this one because the problem there, I think you're doing, Maui, is you're taking those players like as they play now in other teams. Whereas, like, every single one of those players for me is like a question mark. Like, I've only seen Snappy in teams he's essentially, for the last few years, been able to hand pick. And then he never had any pressure out the gate. He was allowed months to get the lineup going. And then once it got good, people were like, oh, now I'll pay attention, right? In this lineup, he has to just immediately, like Cassad says, remember, he's playing with now with Ents. Like, he has to like finish up with Ents now, get this deal done, join them in the team in some context, get his players. By the way, this is assuming he has four players like immediately on day one he joins. And then that's when like everything begins. Like, as Christopher Hitchens used to say, all your work is ahead of you. It's not, none of the things you bring into the table really help you. And then how about the Magisk one, right? Actually, when I saw Magisk play in the lineups, when Device left Astralis, and then when he first joined Vitality, I actually can't guarantee I know how this guy will play in a new lineup. Like, he might be half as good. He actually looked at times kind of a bit whatever in Vitality when he first joined. Like, yeah, he was better than fucking Masuta or whatever, but like, and Dupree wasn't that great, but it wasn't awesome. Like, he wasn't like Astralis Magisk. In fact, that's why there was all that speculation. If you remember, everyone said he should shift to IGL. Like, maybe he doesn't keep doing it. Like, what we're doing now is, yeah, he looked awesome at the end of Vitality. That's why everyone's taking it that he'd be a banger player in Falcons. And then the last one, Boros, like you say, he's just on IMA territory. He had one good tournament ever, and then everyone's waiting, everyone's giving you like all the goodwill in the world. Like, okay, go on, do it, and it just hasn't happened yet. And he obviously has played fuck all lands, it's basic, so it's just been irrelevant in that regard. So to me, I actually don't think that's much of a lineup right there. I mean, put whoever the fuck else you want. Like, MHL's not a bad player, you can probably frag some people online. It doesn't matter. Like, the problem I have there is that lineup is dog shit on paper. Like, the real issue with this lineup is that lineup plus Nico. We're cooking with gas because we've got Nico, but Nico is doing a lot of the heavy lifting in your brain of like firepower, consistency. You know how they'll play. Like I say, Magisk is mega if he's like your third best player. At the moment, by the way, he's the best player we've got. And then we've got what? Boros, who knows? And then Snappy, not even working with a team. Like, his whole strength of calling, I don't think his pog call. I don't think you can just drop him in an FPL game and he'll carry the game. So I'll side with Cassad. Like, obviously, you can fluke your way into the RMR. That can happen. But if I think about how many like random matchups you can get online, the fact that this won't be a real team, as far as I can tell. In fact, it might be a really bad mixed team that itself immediately then doesn't exist after they fail the RMR. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Because there's another thing. You know, in a fucked up way, they almost shouldn't want to make the RMR. Because, like, how is this team, even when you then add players, how is it going to be good enough to do anything at the major? Probably isn't. Like, even if you made the RMR and then signed another two players, you probably don't get through the RMR. You're probably borderline for that too. So, because by the way, to very quickly, briefly touch on something, I've touched on other shows, and obviously me and Cassad did a piece of content that's coming out soon. The thing people really don't understand here is, low-key Nico has completely fucked Falcons up their arse for their time plan. Now, he hasn't in the sense that until he signs, they'd be morons if they treated it like he was definitely signing. But the problem is, essentially, he's the piece that has meant all these other names have said yes, preliminary-wise, and they were moving towards completion. As soon as you take that one piece out, there's none of that. Like, my analogy, if you're a fan and you want to put it differently, would be, look, obviously, they would all join this Na'Vi team now because they were nobodies. But the main reason you joined this Na'Vi lineup is because they had Simple. That's why you joined the project. It's like, hey, if it works out, though, I've got this guy, I could win everything. Yeah, I don't know if, like, look, they might have made those choices because of where they are in their career. But the point is, like, actually, I think now, even some of the other names you've heard that on paper probably were like 80% to join, they're probably like 40% or some of them 0% now to join. So I also think people don't realize they've essentially reset the whole process of recruiting for Falcons. Like you say, they've got two players, assuming Snappy joins, and then the Boris one if they want to keep him. But like, I think they're in a pretty tough spot, actually. I think, sadly, they've misplayed this sort of like roster mania.
The thing is, like, to add to your reset point, right, they resetted completely the recruitment, right, which is putting them in a very tough spot, and there is no test runs anymore. Like, they're not going to have 20, 25, you know, official games online before they step into the open RMR qual. It has to be done right in the first take. And I don't think that can happen, especially with this lineup. If you had Nico and, for example, Twists or whoever they targeted, right, Monesi, yeah, they can have a chance. 50-50, in my opinion, in the that lineup, but with this one, it's going to go down to at least 30% chance they're going to qualify 70. They're not, because, like I said, just there is no time to test anything. You need to get it right in the first place.
Also, I'll just throw this out there. If Nico was joining, I think the chances Snappy joined were 99%. If Nico isn't joining, I think the chances Snappy now joins are going to go like, maybe they're 60% still. I don't think it's as certain. Like, as far as I know, without speaking out of school, one of the reasons he wanted to join was to get like the absolute best players and to have a chance to like blow it out and win the major. So I don't even know if it's guaranteed he'll come now. Maybe he waits. Maybe he even says that maybe I'll play this major with Ents, then join after. Who knows, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not far off, right? If you are, for example, Snappy and you say like, listen, I'll extend the Ents deal. Maybe you have 10K salary, whatever, right? Let's say it like that. And then you got 6 more months with that salary, but you know, the Falcons are offering 16, and the chances of you qualifying, or even 20, let's say 20, and the chances of qualifying for the major with Ents and getting the sticker money, and that money will be much larger than the money that you would get from Falcons in the first 6 months. Yes, you're going to lose in the building the team kind of phase, whatever, right? But financially, that is your probably the most important thing, and the fact that you can, you know, have a better chance qualifying and actually winning the major are much higher than in the Falcons. So overall, I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, this is not me saying, you know, it's not the done deal, whatever. Just it makes more sense for him not to join now than to join. That's the thing.
By the way, just as a random aside, obviously people might know an infamous remark made recently by a leaker went that whenever he says something where it doesn't say it's a rumor, where it just says like plus this player, he claimed that's Maui a fact. So now we're even just changing the terminology of actual words that have been established for thousands of years in fucking Western civilization. Like now facts are just things you've heard from multiple people. Cool, awesome, right? Brilliant. Didn't know that was how that worked. Fucking hell. The worst thing about this leaker thing, by the way, is the way they're really just for real, like a little kid listening through a fucking door with a glass, but they're pretending like they're fucking like Oppenheimer, like doing all mathematical equations. Like, you're pretending you're way too good, boys. Like, you're just a fucking bozos spreading rumors. Like, oh, when I say it, it's a fact. Like, bro, it's not even a fact that you have 5 fingers on your hand, you cunt. I'd have to see it, like, properly, like, no, it's you, do a fucking blood test. Like, I don't believe anything you say. Anyway, here's my spin, because here's a fucking hot take and a half for you. Are you ready? This is spicy, but I don't give a fuck, right? Bearing in mind, if you look at the rosters right now, like at the Blast 4 finals, actually, it's actually pretty rough. Like a lot of the big names right now who are good in CS2 aren't there. Some of the teams that are there, no one knows how good they are. Roster moves coming in. I actually think that I'm so confident this wonderful to Na'Vi move will work that I think within the first 2 lands, they're going to make a final. Because here's why. Because I actually think, even though you still got plenty of problems with Imma, you're still working on the rest of the squad. The thing is, I think people are actually underestimating. This is one of the most, I think, most easy plug-and-play moves I've ever seen in World Counter-Strike. Like, this guy already is not just an AWPer who speaks Russian. He's actually like a fucking bona fide star player AWPer too. Like, he actually could walk in today and put up like a 1.2 rating and frag out with the AWP, and then it puts everyone else in their normal place. Like, basically, he could do what you wanted Simple to do, but he barely played with this lineup. Like, he's obviously not peak Simple, but you don't need to be. Like, when you look at this circuit right now, if he plays, like I say, like a 1.2 rating type AWPer, Bit's already pretty good. Jail actually underrated fragging. Yeah, Emma's been semi-shit. Then it's just on Lexi B to call a good game. I think with the field right now is so weak. Like I say, there's lineups that aren't going to exist anymore. Some of the lineups at this blast one, by the way, aren't even good. Like, Nip's not going to fucking do anything. So I think the first two events are going to make a fart. Now, here's the thing. The spicier take would be they'd win. I can't say they'll win. Like, with the lineup they have right now, it's still a mess. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. I have no idea if he'll even be here in 2 months. So I'll just say they'll make a final. There's a spicy take for you.
Come on, I know what I would say, but come on, wait, okay,
make a final in the first two events. That is just the fall finals and the world finals. I don't think there's anything else in between. Don't need more than that. Fall finals, I don't think they're going to do it. Okay, FaZe is going to win their group for sure. Then Cloud9 have proven to me that they're actually half decent, at least when they played, I can't remember which one's which, between Thunderpick and Rubet anymore, but one of those they looked pretty good at, where they just kind of lost to FaZe in like the semifinals. Then from the other side of the bracket, I would put a couple other teams above them. But like, the thing is, I think it's more likely they do it at the fall finals than the world finals. I'll say that. I think the world finals has a slightly stiffer... the opposition's a little bit stiffer there. You have, instead, you have Mouse coming into that tournament, and I don't think you actually have, you don't have G2 at the fall finals either. So I think that, I don't think they're going to make that. I think that they could beat Cloud9 and have a nice, like, semifinal. They might get into the semifinals, like winning a quarterfinals game against like a really weak, I don't know who makes it out of Group B, like Astralis or Heroic or something like that. Like they could do that. But I think that anybody that wins, say, Group B, for example, if it's Vitality or Complexity for that matter, I think they're actually going to beat them. I think that I don't see them being a top two or top three team. Like they'd have to have a very fortunate run to get to the finals. And I don't think it's happening here.
The thing is, like, I got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed, Duncan, just slightly.
Why?
Because I would think that you would go all the way,
and say like,
balls deep, and say like they're gonna win one of the first two events in Blast, whatever, right? But you decided to go for a safe option, which is something that you never do, which tells me that
I don't think it's that safe. He just told me it's not gonna happen. It's a hot take, so he told me about 15 reasons it's not gonna happen. So come on, hit me. You're making it sound like you're about to agree that's possible. Is that true?
No. The thing is, like, if you went all the way, like you usually do, without like looking back, without thinking too safe, and say like, hey, they're gonna win.
All right.
I would probably agree. Looking at the Blast, like the Premier, or you know.
All right, then fuck it. Then let's just upgrade it. Then they win one of the first two events. How about that?
Because I can see what you're banking on, right?
Okay.
You're banking on the fact that like they had, you know, honeymoon period.
Yeah.
Wonderful is like whatever good, and you know the CS2 is unstable.
Rest of the
and
field
they have
shit.
That
yeah, exactly.
But why not go for the whole thing then? If you're thinking like, you know, that's why I cannot support you.
Well, here's the problem. Because... I will agree, Kassad. In theory, right, if I am just going to do a hot take, I can't just say they win. I just, essentially, that's where like the analytical part of my brain took over and was like, whoa. Because obviously the real problem is a quick point is obviously finals are different. Like when people get the final, the pressure and all that shit. So that's the real reason I didn't do whatever. We could, by the way, I don't actually think functionally there's that much different. Like, as you say, if they can do a honeymoon run and beat whoever in the semi, why wouldn't they then be able to win? So you're right, actually, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just say they win one of the first two events then. Let's do that.
All right. I can agree with that one. I can agree that they're going to win the fall finals, right? Because Heroic doesn't have a lineup.
The best part about this, by the way, Maui, is like, I know, but the problem is, there is a kind of genius to that, though, in a way. If you know what I mean, in a way that is genius. He actually would have totally disagreed with me if I'd said just make the final. But because I've made it less likely, he's like, yeah, I'm in. Fuck it, I'm in. Let's go.
You're breaking your character. That's the thing. It's not your brand to go for the finals and not take the whole thing.
It's true.
The thing is, like, they can beat Heroic because Heroic doesn't have a lineup, right? Nobody knows what the fuck is going on there. So there is no chance that they beat them in a best of three. NIP with the new lineup and Alex and all these things that are happening. We know that NIP is just a mess of whatever. Cloud9, they don't have an upper. I don't think they can make it. Astralis is about to sign, but the roster lock is on. They're not going to play with the new players from, you know, Heroic. So they are not a competitor there. Complexity is the team that kind of overachieved and punched above their weight in Sydney. I don't think they're going to make it that deep. The only trouble they have is FaZe, And Vitality. Vitality, obviously, have their work cut out for them, get bringing Messi and, coach coming back and all these things. So they're not going to be, probably not going to be ready. And the true opponent is FaZe. And they can take FaZe. Like, you can see FaZe that they were on the verge of losing many games in these 15, 16 best of threes they won, right? They were so close to losing a bunch of them and they still won. Sometimes has to end. If I have to bet on one thing and take the odds on an underdog, I'm going to take Navi because Navi is in a good spot to win that best of three, right? Because of Wonderful and the whole line. We saw them in Sydney playing without Simple. They look happier. JL played well. Him is like here and there, but Bit played well. And it's like the team has a chance, right, to win this one. So the other one, the World Finals, I don't think so. I think by that time, let's see, when is that? That's the December 13th, the 17th. By that time, all these teams will be finalized. They're going to be having a lot more practice. G2 is obviously the team that's going to be the contender there. And, whoever they, if they get snappy to stay or not, it's going to be a much more stable teams in that thing. And I don't think
World
they
Finals
have a chance
looks pretty
right
good,
there,
actually,
so.
Mate. I mean, as much as we've memed on it, like the joke is, it's actually going to be the first like fucking good CS2 tournament. If you look at the lineup of teams, it's like all the best teams, basically, yeah.
And it's too bad it's for the blast. But
yes,
the thing is, like we do have to like say how it is, and that it's going to be the good event. Like considering whoever
banger.
Wins the full final, we don't have the eighth team there.
Yes.
But the Heroic situation is a bit of a mess, right? Because they won't have players.
Yes.
They'll have Tassis, Shosh, Dupree, and whoever they get, right? So. That's all we know, but it should be in theory be a really good event. Mouse is going to be there, FaZe, Vitality with their full lineup and all these things. So I can agree now that you changed and you got some senses into you and you picked the right hot take, then I can agree.
Okay.
So yeah, fuck you, Maui.
That's so ridiculous. That's so fucking ridiculous that like him amping up the take to greater stakes made you agree with it. Where to even go with this? I mean, I feel like I said my piece on this one already. I don't know how they suddenly.
What about your hot take then? What's your hot take?
Okay. My take is we see the rankings right now. We see on HLTV where some of these teams are. I think they have made a huge oversight on one team. I will say that to me, if I were to do a power rankings today, the third best team, because I agree with 1 and 2. I think FaZe is number one. I think Mouse is number two, but I wouldn't put Ents number three. I wouldn't put G2 number three or Vitality. My number three team in the world is Virtus Pro. VP, after watching them at Rubet, watching them at Thunderpick, are the third best team right now at CS2. They are so good at playing both CT side and T side right now. They minimize their losing conditions in so many different ways. Jame is a great opper in CS2, and Flit is one of the best riflers right now. Flit is
it.
Such
yeah.
an insane rifler right now. And on top of that, like people like Norbert are just not losing them rounds. Like Norbert has actually...
As if we're going like, about Norbert now. It's
yeah. Norbert has somehow shed any doubt for me. I seriously, after watching him in some of these online cups, I'm like, well, he's not losing the game.
In online cups, I can't believe
you. Okay, there's only so many events that we can work with. So
I know,
far
it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Norbert in online cups. Let's keep going.
No, so for VP, though, right now, another thing is that this Mir signing has actually been really good for
us. I can't handle that. He was,
so
he's basically like, anyway, Norbert in online cups, yada, yada, yada. So Virtus Pro, the third best team in the world.
Okay, I honestly, right now, with how Ents are playing, I can't really say that they're the third best team confidently
okay.
right now.
Fair enough.
With G2 also, I mean, they've just dipped out after Sydney, and they haven't been playing. With Vitality, with Mezzi, I wouldn't put them third. With VP, it's a known quantity. That's what I like about VP right now, is that I know the brand of Counter-Strike that they're playing. I've seen it now through so many games. I've seen so many maps of VP right now, and they're consistently just such a, like, for teams that they're supposed to beat, they are beating them. They're beating practically every team that they're supposed to beat. The one kind of hiccup that they've had so far in these online games has been against Cloud9, but it was pretty close at that. And then they actually had a pretty close map two against FaZe in the grand finals. It was kind of a weird veto. I don't really know if I completely buy the whole like FaZe playing Vertigo thing just yet. Although they were able to beat DP on it, so maybe it is going to work for them. But if I look at the other teams that are ranked above them on HLTV right now, I'm not truly convinced that any of them is the third best team, or I would power rank them as third above VP when I've seen so much data from VP at this point that tells me Flit is one of the best riflers in this game right now. Fame is an incredibly strong rifler for them right now. The style that they play actually probably seems to work even better because economy is so, it's so rickety and rockety right now with just like the fact that on CT side, you really don't get too much. But then they actually always have really good CT sides, even though the fact is that you can lose, if you lose one too many guns on one of these rounds, you're in a terrible position. But VP never lose too many guns. It's like that saving that was so boring to us in MR15 actually I think is much more valuable here on MR12, where every mistake is magnified.
Come on, Kassad, he set you up for this one. Is it indeed versus Pro the third best team in the world, Kassad?
Oh, man. But apparently what qualifies you to be the third best team is to play map number two close against FaZe, and then you're immediately in team number three. Are you insane? Like, based on what did you come to conclusion that they're number three? They lost to Ecstatic a month ago in a best of three. Yes, they won the Rubet Cup. They were the strongest opponent for Furia, that is terrible right now. They beat OG and Monty and Movistar Riders and Spirit. And every time they run into this kind of tier 1 opposition, they lost. It's against Cloud9 and FaZe. They beat Monty again, Heroic and Fnatic and NIP in the Thunder Picked World Championship. Everything that happens online. And everything happened in a best of 3. Yes, they got all these wins, but not a single tier 1 opposition was against them. Every time there was a FaZe, they had a close map too. Apparently, that's important. And Cloud9, which they lost to as well. Let's see if on that matchup that it was Shiro playing. No, he wasn't even playing. Boomich was the top fragger for Cloud9, and they still lost! 2-1. And you want to put that team as a number 3 right now, above, for example, G2 and Complexity? They made top 4 so easily with those wins in Sydney on a LAN tier 1 event.
I wouldn't put G2 because JKS is bench now. If JKS is bench now, I can't
allegedly G2 it.
Okay.
Allegedly benched.
Theoretically,
and Complexity,
yeah, so.
And Complexity played the final and they almost won it against FaZe. They lost in 3 maps, right? The FaZe are supposed to be number 1 team in your calculations, HLTV rankings and all these things. They're number 1. Absolutely no doubt. They won all these third events, won these all matchups, best of 3s, and they almost lost to Complexity on that LAN tier 1 event in CS2. And you want to put VP because they won Thunder Pick and Rubet and then came second losing to FaZe on Thunder Pick by, in the meantime, not facing a single top 5 opposition? That made sense? No chance. Absolutely no chance. I do agree with you that Flit is a very good rifle right now in CS2. I don't know about Fame because I worked at Rubet Cup and I watched like all their playoff games. And yes, they have a good CT side. T side is still boring, still very one-dimensional. Nothing really changed, but the CT side is very strong and that got them the win. I didn't watch the Thunder Pick Championship because it was happening at the same time. But overall, yes, they are stronger than they were at the last month of CSGO, but to put them as number 3 is just absolutely nuts. And you just went all over the place with Mir and Norbert and them being number 3.
Dude, Mir was balling at Rubet.
When did you wake up, dude? What
Mir
did you
was
eat?
Balling. Mir was balling at Rubet. He looked so good. He had so many crazy rounds for them there.
Thing is, if I just boil it down, like essentially his take is, like the way to reframe it is this. Because right now we've only had like 2 lands in CS2 and not all the top teams were there. He's essentially saying his hot take is that secretly VP is the third best team in the world. Obviously in the rankings they never could be because they didn't go to the lands. And then also online tournaments alone aren't going to make anyone rank you third best in the world, right? The problem with that is, like, I don't hate it as a general take. Like, obviously outside of the top 2, it is pretty wide open right now. It's more things like, I just don't, actually, I personally wouldn't pick them as the third best team. And I don't think they will be. And I think there's better teams. Like the 3 teams that are around that area on the rankings, like Ents, G2, Vitality, I don't even need to pick which. Just one of those 3 is better than Virtus Pro if I had to guess, or if I actually had to like bet today who will go further in the tournament. I don't hate the angle of like actually the like talent in it is pretty good. But I know what you mean though, Kassad. It is like he was trying to do like a mixture of like stage magician misdirection, but then also sort of like infomercials in America. So on the one hand, he was like, see Norbert here? He's not doing bad, is he, in this online tournament? And then, oh, there's more though. What about me? What about me now? 1999 with your own. order. You get Mei and you get top two in an online cop. Like, and you're like, whoa, win it. Like the whiplash. I'm like, what was the connection? And then he did at the end essentially do the old meme of like, you know, one, Norbert's doing well in online cops. Two, Mei's looking good. Three, Flit's really sick, isn't he? Four, like James Orpin. Five, you know, fame. Up and coming potential top player one day. Step six, ... Step seven, Virtus Pro, third best team in the world. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You know, ready to go, ready to drive off the lot today.
The step six and the question marks is the fact that, like, when I look at also some of these other rosters with the, and I guess this is taking in rumors into account. So it's actually combining all the details is that with Ence, if Snappy leaves, this team's not the third best team.
True.
If G2 benches JKS, they're not the third best team. If I don't think Vitality with Mezzi are better than this VP team.
True.
And then they've obviously already beaten Monty multiple times. Na'Vi with Wonderful, haven't really seen them play yet, couldn't put them as the third best team. So the only other team I actually think in terms of like verified roster stability and have results is Complexity. But then when VP have actually played in the same tournament as then, they won the tournament and Complexity lost in the group stage.
By the way, like I say, I don't actually think this is a terrible hot take. It's pretty good on the line. One thing I will say, though, is this. The one part I don't agree with, though, because I've fallen for this too many times myself, is I actually think you can't, for VP of all teams, use the whole, like, but they looked good in a loss, because their whole style is like attrition like that. Like, they're probably the best team ever at losing 13-10, if you know what I mean. Like, so the problem is, like, they sort of do that to everyone. Like, that doesn't mean as much to me. I agree, though, actually. If you actually, like, break it down like that, I think there's logical reasons they could be third.
No. The thing is, like, if he phrased it and said, like, listen, 3 months from now, based on these rumors that we have and all these things, all the arguments that he just said, and said, like, listen, 3-4 months from now, we're going to be solidified top three team right now because of this, and that. And then after Katowice, when we do our show again, and he's going to say, look at Kans, I was right? And then that would make sense. And I would maybe agree, but then he just said they're top three.
Yeah, because he raised the stakes, so didn't he? Because now, if they are actually really good, Kassad, he can go and they haven't even played a LAN when I said that, which is a sound baller, won't it? It sounds sick.
What's even more outrageous is that we overlooked the fact that he said Mousesports is number two, which is absolutely not.
Who would you have as number two then?
Well, I know that I wouldn't put Mouse. Based on what?
Here's the thing, Maui. I'll tell you right now, because I've done so many talk shows. I know like how people, what boxes they get put in. Kassad, right, is a purist in the sense that he doesn't judge you just off temporary form, like how you did at this LAN or the last month and a half. It's just, by the way, I actually do agree with this in general as an approach. It's why if you notice, everyone will think I'm a moron when for like months I'm like, I think Elise could turn it around. They'll be like, yeah, look at him, he's bloody shit. Like, Grimm's twice as good. But the difference is, though, like, you actually know what you get with Elise. Grimm himself might just be on a little greater form. So I think Kassad in general, like, he's never going to look at, like, the G2 and Vitality rosters and go, like, oh, Mouse is definitely better than them. Like, they haven't proven it to you yet, right, Kassad? They've done a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they played okay to put them as number two. No. There is no valid point for them to be number two. The only place that solidified completely is FaZe as number one, simply because of the results in the past month and a half. Nobody else can claim a single spot. Not a single team can claim a spot in this current state of rumors, benched players, you know, everything. Even VP, who is a solid lineup and played the Rubet and Thunderpick, and they were first and second, they still haven't played the LAN, they still haven't played top three, top five, top whatever opposition, top opposition. So we cannot really place them. The same goes for Mousesports. They lost, what, in the quarterfinals of Sydney, was it? And they lost in the quarterfinals of Sydney, or the semis, right? And they, in the Thunderpick, they were like, they lost to FaZe again. And it's like all the defeats for them were against FaZe, but all the victories against like Lin Visions and Astralis and all these teams, right? So it's very hard to place these teams at number 2, 3, 4, or 5 when there is not enough data at all, not enough anything to support it. We can claim that we want them to be in 3 months because saw something today. That makes sense. Yeah, I can support that, but just putting them on a spot is just nonsense for me.
Right, come on then, Kassad, it's you.
Okay, so it's me. The next take is about Vitality, and this is going to be kind of spicy a little bit, because I think because of these lineup changes that have, and the fact that they brought back a coach that worked so well with Apex, Vitality is going to be the team with the most titles at the end of 2024.
Ooh, so all of next year, okay.
All of next year, so 12 months from now, when we are staring down the
Okay, that's
last
bold.
World Finals, whatever, Vitality is going to have the most titles. I don't know if it's going to be the major or not, but tier one events, you know, the IEMs, the Colognes, the Katowice, the majors, everything that comes to that, you know. And I'll tell you why, because they made the sick signing for number one argument. They signed Mezzi, who is a super young player, who is very communicative, who is very reasonable when it comes to his roles, very hard working. He's going to do whatever needs to be done, and he can deal with different roles in the team. He can be entry, he can be a little bit more defensive. He used to IGL, he did this all these things in Fnatic and previously in Cloud9, and then he did it well. Even though Fnatic in the past, however, it wasn't so good, they bought the right player for the right team. They have the perfect core with Flames, Sphinx, and him. Right now, I'm not even counting Zywoo there in the core right now. Simply just to prove how strong the firepower and this trio is, this rifler trio is for Vitality. They can stand up against anybody in the circuit right now, including Nico, including like all these like top tier players and top tier teams. They can just go against anyone right now as that rifler trio. Then on top of that, you have Zywoo. We don't know how it's gonna, you know, work in CS2. It's gonna be the same as CSGO. Probably is. Let's see how it goes. But still, he's there. On top of that, they have Apex, who is working well with XTAZ, who came back from a little trip to TSM, I guess, and a little time off. And then two of them used to work there. You used to see like a lot of interviews, a lot of videos. They talk about it. They work really well in their game style, in their game. You know, the way they play the game was more towards Zywoo when it comes to XTAZ. You know, he gave him more freedom, more responsibility. I don't know if it's going to be the same thing now, but he has a lot better supportive elements around Zywoo than he had in the previous lineup of Vitality, the full French one, right? So I think, and mentality, for example, of Mezzi is also very good. I think he's very receptive to criticism, to like fixing things, and I think he will respect the coach, he will respect the team and the organization. There is no chance for me that that thing fails. Unless something crazy happens, which I don't think is going to happen. Overall, they have a sick rifling trio, very young rifling trio. They have super young Zywoo as well, and experienced IGL with a coach that he knows and that he, you know, kind of he has a good chemistry. So overall, I see them winning titles in 2024, in 2025. But just to keep this like hot take not too like kind of spread out, I'm just going to say for the 2024, they're going to be the team with the most Tier one events or wins, whatever.
Okay. I'll say one thing that's really nice that pads your take is the fact that Vitality as an org just seems so stable compared to some of these other ones. Like with all these other teams that potentially could actually, if it, like basically there were no rumors, you would probably just kind of go with something easy, like say FaZe would do it. But we know that there's likelihood that FaZe is going to be broken apart. With G2, it seems like that team's going through some changes also, and they might just lose their star in-game leader. And so if you look at some of the better teams right now, the only people that really can actually go toe to toe with them would be like Mouse, just for stability's sake. And I don't even know if I could say Na'Vi because it seems like Simple might come back too, so that might change this team's outlook too. And I'd have to pick a team like VP like VP to actually maybe win more titles than them, or Complexity. Yeah, and it's with Vitality and their backing, it is hard to go against that. I will say though, just to kind of slight your point in some way, I mean, I don't think that core rifle trio is better than Mouse's core rifle trio right now. I would take Frozen, Yimpat, and Exertion over Flame, Sphinx, and Mezzi. The core is just younger. Mezzi's 25 years old. Frozen, Yimpat, Exertion, like no one's even breaking 21 years of age. Frozen is 21 right now, and so for like the longevity of the roster and just these players, I think that the people on Mouse have longer careers ahead of them than say somebody like Mezzi. I don't doubt that Mezzi is a good player, but he's not really scratching top 20 in the world for me, where Frozen and Yimpat are both right there. They're both incredibly strong right now. But I will say that with Mouse, like the elephant in the room with that team is obviously the fact that if you're going one to one with a Vitality, is that you have Torzi versus Zywoo. And I would take Zywoo 10, no, 100 out of 100 times before I take Torzi. So that's where I think that Vitality has a huge edge. And I think it's a pretty good take, Kassad. I think it's actually a pretty good take. I think Vitality, they just got the org, they got the backing, they got the coach IGL duo that makes this very possible.
See, here's what's spicy is I actually thought, even on the last episode, about doing a hot take that goes counter to this and saying that actually I don't think the Messi signing is that good, so I'm going to disagree. Now, here's the problem. Because of how messy CS2 is right now, I'm not saying I disagree in the sense that, like, I have a more obvious team that will win more titles. Like, I don't know who will win the most titles in 2024. Like, I'd have to purely speculate. Like, will FaZe even exist? Who the fuck knows right now? What team will Simple play for? Will Falcons be any good? Will G2? It's not like there's an obvious team that makes that a stupid take. I just don't actually think that the Vitality lineup is actually that great, and here's why. Because the problem I have is this. I think people are doing like almost like linear thinking, where when Flames came in instead of Dupree, right, the reason why that's not that crazy a gamble is because you've still got the other four players that did just win tournaments, win the major, like history, experience. But when you're changing two pieces, remember, Flames himself is barely bedded in. He's played, what, like 1.5 lands or something? Like, he hasn't played, and they obviously went out of one really quickly. Like, he himself hasn't, like, gotten totally established and figured out all his roles. Like, did all right at that LAN. Then you add in that Messi is mega inexperienced. Like, people forget this. Look, he had that one major Rio where he made top 8. That's it. Aside from that, you go look at LANs. Dude, he's one of those people that should be fucking glad that ESL likes, like, 12 teams in the playoffs of Pro League. Or this motherfucker would barely have ever played in a playoff. Ever. And by the way, Pro League playoffs are the ones where, like, your girlfriend, a guy running the fucking Coke machine, and an ESL admin of the fucking crowd, like, beat behind you. Like, mate, I've had more people shout that at fucking pantomime than an ESL Pro League game. So already, the experience actually isn't that great on those two players. And you notice, by the way, when I'm looking at this team, I'm now having to make Spinks a really experienced player in this lineup. Like, he himself's only been in the game a couple of years. So after that, what have you got left after you bring in Messi and you've got Flames? So you've got Spinks, who, by the way, has now sort of hit a run where he's consistently a star, but he himself was having a lot of problems in this lineup when he first came in. He was really up and down. Ziwu has done nothing in CS2 so far. He actually looks shit. By the way, that whole thing that everyone's loving, all those fans of Ziwu, he's a genius though, because Simple has to work really hard, but Ziwu can just, like, wake up and play. I tell you what, he can't play CS2, can he, motherfucker? I saw him. He was just average as fuck. Like, that wasn't Ziwu. Where's this guy? Like, this, if that's true, by the way, he doesn't put in the hours. He better put in loads of hours now then, because the talent's there, but he hasn't... At the moment, we're all taking for granted in this convo that Ziwu's going to be CSGO Ziwu and be potentially the best player in the world. That's why they're going to win the tournament. And then lastly, to me, I of all the players, right, literally, if you asked me to make an order, Kassad, of players you can't remove from this team, like, of importance, yeah, Ziwu's number one. Dude, I would have had Magus number two over Spinks. Like, I actually think if you watch the way they won those tournaments this year, Magus is, like, the player who, like, controls the game for them. Like, his fucking decision-making is cracked in the mid-game, mate. I think, genuinely, I can see why people thought he might be an IGL one day. He has the mind for it. Just, like, reads the game. And so you can't just bring him. Like, Messi's an all right player. Like, he's a good prospect. If this was, like, if he was joining Ents or Mouse or something, I'd be going, yeah, great pickup. My problem here is, though, like, what I'm losing from Magus, I'm not really gaining with Messi. Like, he's not as good as Magus is. And also, Magus has been in, like, the biggest finals. He's won all the tournaments. And then lastly, the coach thing isn't minor either. Another factor that gave the team stability before is you had Ziwu, who you knew how he was going to play amazing. And then you had Dupree and Magus, plus their long-term coach who knows how to come to. Now they have X-Stars. Here's the one angle no one's thought about. All the last narrative from the Ziwu camp and Apex and Vitality has been, right, well, we've been working to sort of bring him more out of his shell and make him get a bit more selfish. This is the guy who had Ziwu doing all that shit years ago, as in, this is the guy who, if anything, I worry about this. I get the vibe about X-Stars that he's, like, one of those, like, players, coaches, Kassad, where it's like everyone loves him because he gives you, like, what you want. Like, I don't know how it's going to work with this lineup. Like, everyone's acting also like the Zonic thing didn't happen. Like, we're just... Basically, let's be real, of the team that won the major, they only have three people, essentially. They have Apex, Ziwu and Spinks, that's it. They don't have the coach, they've changed two players, so I just think it's way more up in the air. I will say, the interesting thing is, you're not trying to recreate Vitality. Like, Vitality was, like, Ziwu better be almost the best in the world, Spinks better be really good, and then basically make us play well, and then beyond that, we've got a team. This team is more like, actually, just one of these, like, general international mixes. Like, the base level of the players is pretty good, but I think it is almost impossible when I look at these players on paper to know what fucking style of player will they have, how will they play around people, how will they, like, figure out the dynamic of, like, what, is, like, Flames just a bitch in this team? Does Messi just do all the shit? How does it work? Like, I don't know, but I don't think it's as obvious. Like, I understand why on paper, you think the player strength is X. I agree. They can obviously aim-wise go head-to-head with almost any team. I just don't know about all the like team building aspect. I could see a world where this is just like the fourth best team or something.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with you on a couple of things there, even though you kind of killed my faith in Vitality right now. But the thing is, I do agree with you on the coach thing. And I do agree with you with the Magisk being important piece if they're in that team. Simply because, like you said, he is the one that kind of controls the game and dictates what's going to happen in certain times. While Sphinx, for example, is a player that reacts to certain things happening, right? And then he's going to wait for something to happen so he can do his own thing. Mezzy, why I'm backing him up is the fact that I know him personally, and I know what he can do on the server, at least what he could do back in 3 years ago. So, and he has been only better since then. Yes, the reason why he was only in this like 12-team playoffs bullshit that you were talking about, I think that's, you know, not entirely his.
No. I'm just saying he's just not the experience on my angle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, yes, I mean, but he did collect some experience based on that. He did play in some arenas. He did okay considering the circumstances. He is not top 10 player by any means, but I think he'll do. He'll do just enough. The problem that I have is that coaching thing. Maybe you are right about that. I don't know how he's, you know, obviously in the previous iteration, right? Xtas was with full French lineup, right?
Well, we'll just say, to be fair, Kassad, technically he is a top two coach in the world. He is nominated for coach of the year.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously. what the fuck was that? Anyway, even him.
By the way, shall I tell you the real reason I think that's happened for real? That just looks like some bozo shit of like, oh, I heard Vitality won the major. Who's that? And then someone's gone like, oh, Xtas, he's the coach. And then they put Xtas in Zonic there and they've realized like he hasn't been in the 100%. Team for like a year. No, it's
that's
obvious,
exactly
isn't it?
What happened. I know. Exactly what happened. The thing is, like, what I was going to say, he only worked with French players in that previous lineup of Vitality when they were successful, right? And after that, he went to a break. He went to G2 when he was international lineup. He didn't do well there.
No one even knows what happened there to this day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the public doesn't know, right? The thing is, like, he took a break.
That was great. He did that like an aristocrat or something there, didn't he? It was well delivered. Okay, well done.
After that, he took a break and then came back in TSM in the international lineup. He was there for a very short time, and now he's coming back.
That was ridiculous. He had like it's like they say in America, he had a cup of coffee with TSM, basically. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He was there for 5 minutes.
It's just, I mean, if I was him, I would do the same thing, right? Why not? You get the
chance to work. So you just volunteer that. Follow them. Fuck it. I'd just leave immediately as well. Fuck them.
I mean, not because of TSM, but opportunity.
It's a better opportunity. Yeah,
the
you got to take it.
Hey, just why the fuck not? Well, and you didn't, you know, the thing is, like, maybe you ruined the vision of TSM, but, you know, it's business, whatever. That's why we have contracts.
Yeah.
But we should have contracts. But the thing is, like, coming back into another international lineup might be a challenging for him because there's another French people, it's an Englishman, there's two Israelis, there is like, you know, another then two Frenchmen. So it's gonna be very interesting to see how they work together. But I made my point and I'm sticking to it.
I just want to remark on the fact that, like, this is not, it's a little bit of a tangent from your take, but a lot of people were really praising this move for Vitality. But I mean, you would never have done this willingly if you, like, people are almost. The like uproar in terms of positive feedback for Vitality is like, oh, they get to sign Mezzy, this is so good for them. But like, Mezzy to me is a strict downgrade over Majisk, like, or under Majisk. I would never, like, you look at all the characteristics that made Majisk good, and I think some people are trying to do this weird cope of like, well, Mezzy was an in-game leader for a brief amount of time. It's like, you don't think Majisk is going to put in that much input to this team, if not more than what Mezzy did, in a positive and winning fashion. I just don't know where that came from. And also, there's always been, like, I keep reading this comment over and over again, and I have to address it, is that multiple people on multiple boards and everything are just like, I think Mezzy can be, you know, if he's freed from Fnatic, can be a top 20 player. It's like, when has that ever been indicated that he has that ability? Like he's a good player. Like, Mezzy is an above average pro. He is definitely an above average pro, but he has not shown to me that he is in that upper echelon of elite players, even at his role. He's very good, but he's not top 20 caliber for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. He's not like, you know, somebody's going to be top 10 at least. Maybe he can break in like into top 20 based on the results if they have it. Like, you remember the Astralis years where all the five players were in top 10. It's like, it can happen, right? But the thing is, like if you compare it to a bunch of other players right now out there, he's not going to be close to them. But is he going to... The problem is that we keep like... we try to compare him to Magisk, and it's incomparable right now. Magisk brings so much more. Simply in terms of experience, he's not that much older. He's what, 25, 26 as well. Is just there is so much more value on Magisk as a player than on a Mezzi, right? But the firepower is something that he can, bring to that team. Maybe a little bit of experience, not as much as Magisk had, but something that he can bring. And like I said, his personality and mentality in game is quite not special, but it's like more than above average, right? It's different than what normal players are these days. That's the whole
By
thing.
the way, like I say, the weird thing about this move is I actually do like Messi and think he is a good player. I think Maui nailed it where he just said it like that. Essentially, if this was like a normal roster mania, and at the end of it all, you'd heard all these rumors like Nico's going to Falcons and snap. And then at the end, someone goes, and Messi's joined Vitality. You wouldn't go, holy shit, that's the signing of it. You'd go, what? Like, I agree, it's copium. It's because Magisk is gone, and quite frankly, the real problem is who is the like Magisk in the scene? Like, you actually have to sign some like godlike player and replace him. So, being as there's not really an obvious answer, I think it's more like people are just like, yeah, not bad. When you add it, you say, what about Messi? Yeah, not bad. Yeah, maybe that could work. But like I say, I'm more thinking along the lines of like, when I think of like top peak Vitality, like, look, there's also a world, I will say this, there's a world where if Zywoo and Spinks are really insanely good, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that just makes up for the whole squad. It could just be a great 1-2 punch. But actually, I thought the brilliance of the old Vitality lineup is essentially it did give Zywoo, who sometimes didn't always have a great playoff game, or Spinks, who could just sometimes have a bad game. They had like a pressure release valve because you knew Magus could carry a game. He could step up and just take over a match or like play well against an opponent in a hard spot, so there's time to come to life in the game, Right, here's a good one. I've got a good spin for you because I'm going to make this not too long, because I'll probably do a video on my own channel about this. But I teased it last episode, so I'm going to do it now. I actually think this is a mega hot take, but I'm also so disappointed at the community that this is like a hot take that even needs to be said. So I teased it last episode. My hot take is Pimp did absolutely nothing wrong doing that Twitter ad for the Saudis. Here's why. Because I've tried so many times when I'm reading these comments to figure out, like, reverse engineer, what are their first principles, Maui? Like, what are their ideas of what would make you a bad person, a hypocrite, wrong? Just someone who's done something wrong. And as far as I can tell, the real logic goes like this. Right, one, the biggest factor is people just don't like Pimp. Now, the reason I can tell that A/B testing is because no one is going up Get Right's arse 24/7, and he also did one of those tweets. Like, nobody really cares. Like, let's be real. If three Get Rights had done it, if Get Right Pasha and fucking, I don't know, Olaf Meister had done it, none of you would be crying about it. It's because it's Pimp, so it's an excuse to hit on Pimp. That's number one. But then number two, I actually think genuinely the reason why they think he has done something morally wrong, Maui, goes like this. Because Pimp, in my opinion, unrelated, has previously said he doesn't do gambling sponsors, and the implication was he thinks unless they're like the most legit ones in the world that it's like potentially a sketchy area, and he doesn't want to promote that to his viewers. Fans have taken that as a moral statement, and so in their mind, they think doing an ad for the Saudis and accepting money is worse than taking a dodgy sponsor. Now, the reason I make this point is, one, you've actually just made an entirely subjective moral judgment there, by the way. Like, that's something you've chosen if you believe that. I don't think that goes because to me, by the way, you've made like a disingenuous comparison. You've acted like Pimp kills people in Saudi Arabia at the border, but then chose, I'm not going to do gambling. Like, that would be crazy. He never said anything about Saudi Arabia ever, as far as I know. And he never ever, by the way, has flexed all the like LGBT stuff. So I don't even know where this angle that he's a hypocrite comes from. Like I say, as far as I can tell, the real argument here is if you think gambling is morally wrong, and I don't even believe people actually think that, by the way, I think they're just saying that again as their premise from which to attack Pimp, then you think if you won't do gambling, then why will you take the Saudi sponsorship is basically the premise, right? Now, the last thing to say on that goes like this. One, I understand Americans don't always like, to some of them, they think automatically because gambling was illegal for so many states that it is automatically a moral wrong. You're confusing the law with morality there. But I would just say, I personally don't even see the connection. Like, as far as I can tell, Pimp was uncomfortable with types of betting. And then separately, as far as I know, like I say, I've never seen him do a Frankie. I've never seen him come out and make grand statements about the world politics or what he wants. So I don't, like I say, I'll bring it back to what I said at the beginning. What has Pimp done wrong? Pimp did nothing wrong. As far as I can tell, you guys might not like it, but I genuinely think people just hate on Pimp. I don't even think actually, I don't think there's much to this one personally. What do you think?
I'm trying to. I was trying to just find the tweet for where Pimp. Basically, I remember that a lot of people that were mad at Pimp were mad because they saw it as a form of hypocrisy because they were. He said something well in the past, like 9 months ago, that we as a scene need to do better and not take lazy sponsorships that are not
Okay.
really relevant to our space. And I think he was more or less referring to the case opening
Ah,
type websites, like
right.
I don't want to say those websites'
Yeah,
names,
yeah.
but like like those ones that are like they're basically like can be rigged RNG so that people on stream can win more than the
Right.
actual odds would give a normal person a chance to win. And so Pimp was critical of those, and because he was critical of those, people conflated his disdain for those kinds of websites with him actually taking sponsorship from Gamers 8. But the thing is that if you actually kind of look at what Pimp's words were when he said that, his spon like what he said is like he doesn't want to take irrelevant sponsors that are just kind of preying on people. But the thing is, like, literally, Gamers 8 is a tournament that is putting on events in our space. And so for me and what Pimp stood for in his earlier tweet earlier this year, I don't think that this was a breach or like some kind of hypocritical take in terms of him taking up that sort of sponsorship. He's literally just promoting a tournament that he's probably going to talk about on talk shows, if not other events later, because he's going to honor the results of that event.
By the way, just as an aside also, I think as well that if you ever read his like comments about gambling, I don't think he ever did say, like I imply, I don't think he ever did say I'm like against gambling or think gambling's wrong. Like you're saying, because as you're saying that, it's reminded me, Maui. I'm almost certain when he explained why he wouldn't take certain sponsorships, it was the idea that if he didn't think it was a well-vetted enough company, he just didn't like the idea his, you know, his fan might listen to him, then work with it and then lose money. I think it was more that. It was more like a
Yeah.
personal responsibility idea. Now, that's unrelated to the Saudi angle, is it? Like, it's not like his fans are people trying to cross the border from Yemen to fucking Saudi Arabia or something. Like, I don't really see the connection on that one. I feel like it's a bit of a reach, you know.
Right. I mean, the main thing is that I mean, people will just ad hominem people like crazy. If they don't like you, they're just gonna make up a reason to dislike you. I mean, it happens to all three of us where people will just come at us for a take or something like that, and they'll just blow it up, and then they'll just like make up things we say just to try to prove their point, even though we never said those things, or they'll just try to spin our
Of
words in some
course.
some devious way.
By the
The
way, the
fucking
real
problem
reason,
of the
though,
world.
just very simply, though, the reason I hate this approach, though, is because if you yourself, like I say, make a moral judgment like that, so essentially you're telling Pimp by telling him you're hating on him, you are doing something morally wrong. This is fucked up what you're doing, Pimp. Then I'm sorry, you must then follow up and you yourself live up to those morals. So that means, by the
Yes.
way,
Yeah.
you can't watch any CS tournaments anymore. You can't watch anything owned by Saudi Arabia. You definitely can't watch anything with a gambling sponsor. That just goes without saying. You yourself have put that as your position. Now, the problem with there is, by the way, not only do I not believe a single fan who called out Pimp is going to do what I've just said and deny themselves the tournament and enjoying it and what all this money pays for that they claim not to like. But by the way, I'm not going to do that. I am going to watch these tournaments. I am going to watch tournaments, by the way, that even have sponsors I don't think are legit and fun, because that is just esports. That's what you're choosing at this point in time. So that's why, if you notice, by the way, I actually don't make moral judgments about the Saudi topic. I've said I didn't want to take money to this company because I think, one, Richard didn't want it, and then two, I just think it would be a bit personally disingenuous to be funded by people who I am then going to critique for the next 5 years potentially. I just don't think that. I think that's almost like unfair to them at that point in time that they get to buy in and I'm just going to trash them. So, but I'm not making a moral judgment. Like, I have my own thoughts about it, but the reason, because I knew this was going to become a nightmare swamp, I've purposely tried not to make big moral judgments. Like, when I wrecked Frankie, I hope I made this point clear in the video, it was about what she'd said, not what I think about Saudi Arabia and what they do politically. It was the things that she'd said, which, by the way, unlike the Pimp one, the joke is, by the way, everyone actually genuinely, aside from the ones who liked that video, everyone is cool with Frankie. They don't even have a problem with her. She did directly say all the stuff that you're pretending Pimp did. Like, as I said, my biggest issue with all this, as far as I know, Pimp has never commented on any of that shit. I don't even think he ever steps into that domain, does he?
My favorite analogy for this whole situation, it was reminded to me because I read a comment where someone said, "I make minimum wage and I would never take this kind of deal with the Saudis or anything
Okay.
like that." And then the analogy to this is just like, is you're saying, like for NBA athletes like Dwight Howard that just like screw a bunch of women in different country or different states and everything like that. He's like, I'm a virgin, but I would never cheat. It's like, well, you don't have the
Sure.
position or the
Yes.
power to ever be in a
Yes.
position
It's
where
so
you're gonna,
stupid.
the opportunity
It's
is
And you
even
know
there
what's
for
mad
you.
about that as well, Bowie, is they only do that when it's like Pimp and they're grandstanding. If we go the other
Yeah.
way, like I'll give you the obvious example. If Nico had joined Falcons, they wouldn't go, fuck Nico, they'd go, Who could say no? He got the bag. They do the opposite logic, Maui. They'd actually argue, well, who would say no? I'd say yes to that. You know, they do that as well, where they just like deactivate, like they short circuit the moral component.
People,
it is.
They're all the same people that are thinking that if you shoot really fast, you are the smartest guy on the planet. Like if you shoot people on the server really fast, you must know everything, right? And if they hate you, they hate you. They'll find a reason to do it, no matter what you say, what you do. If I go and join the fucking monastery now with my fucking beard and put on a robe, I would still be hated for forever, right?
Simply dude, me and Maui got hated on for the idea we'd blocked Simple. One, Maui didn't even block him, and then unfollowed him. In my case, it was blocked. Dude, people were actually saying that, Kassad. They were like, how could you block the greatest player of all time? And I'm like, what? What sort of mad non sequitur is that statement? What are you talking about? Like, where's the connection?
And also, like, when it comes to this pimp thing, like, I don't think he did anything wrong. I mean, listen, like, the whole situation with the money, the Saudi money and all these things and all this like bullshit virtue signaling that people are doing and trying to be like politically correct and vogue, that's all crap. It's all bullshit. All of these people, all of them, would take any opportunity to get the money, because I would do it too. I would do it too. You know why? Because I don't think that the way some people, you know, trying to pretend they think. For me, my family is the most important thing. I'm gonna my role is to provide, to protect them, and to take care of them, right? By any means necessary that I can, right? I'm not the one violating human rights. Like all these people that are talking about these fucking things, they're all the same people who play face it every day. They're using the fucking platform.
Yeah, true.
They're using the fucking platform. Yes. They're playing the subscription, the premium subscription, $5, $10 a month. You're funding that as well, and then you come out on Twitter, Reddit, and all these bullshit platforms, HLTV forums, and you make hatreds about pimp, about different people there, and you go back and you play your fucking face in there that is owned by the same company that you are publicly, openly criticizing. So what the fuck is your problem? All those iPhones that you use every day are being, you know, the mines, the fucking mines in Africa and all these fucking lithium things and people starving and all these like human rights being violated. You forget about that. You paid $1,000 for your fucking iPhone. So where is the hypocrisy? That are we going to forget about it? Or are we just going to attack Duncan or Pimp or Maui or whoever says anything against anyone? Right, or says publicly their own opinion about whatever the topic is. So all this crap, that's just noise to me. Like at this point, I don't even read those comments anymore or messages. It's just bullshit because people are trying to make themselves like saints when all of them fucking do the same thing as soon as they get a chance. That's what Maui was trying to say, I believe, at some point. Because they're now not in a position to do it, so they're criticizing because they're unhappy with whatever is going on in that little their little lives. Right? So just shut the fuck up. And, you know, try to be who you are. Don't try to pretend that you're something that you're fucking not.
I used to have a great saying that I would say where when people would try to put words into my mouth and hit on me, I'd be like, look, hit on me for the shit I am saying. Like, don't fucking try and get me on stuff I didn't even say. I would just say the same thing about Pimp. Look, there's justifiable reasons to hit on Pimp. He's got that fucked up eye. He never stops going on about how he used to be fat and now he's lost weight. It goes on and on about fucking bike ride. No one cares. It just wrecks your fucking groin, mate. Like, no one gives a shit about that. So, like, there's good reasons to hit on Pimp. He has some whack takes about Simple from years ago. But, you know, at least hit on him for the shit he's doing, not like stuff like this. It's nonsense, you know. I think he's already giving you a lot of ammo. You know, he's doing a lot for you.
I did watch.
Yeah, people don't fucking shut up about the bike thing, dead man. Just annoying.
I watched the 5-minute video of Pimp actually doing the bike ride. It was actually kind of fun. I'm never going to watch it.
We're healthy. We get it.
I'll watch the highlights.
We're fucking healthy. I love that you're healthy. And just shut up.
Also, my other problem is this, right? Which is, look, I understand it's cause, if you notice, right, he's one of those people who clearly can't put on a lot of weight, like, except for if he gets fat, basically. So, like, I understand his style is, like, be lean and do all the bike riding and the swimming and stuff. But I will just say, unfortunately, like, that'll never be the cool way to be fit, though, is it, Pimp? Like, cool way, let's be real, is to look like Blame F and look like you're fucking brick shit house and you can beat anyone up. Like, that's cool. It's never going to be that cool to be like, oh, guys, you won't believe this. I got up at 4 this morning. I've already biked 18 kilometers. Like, that sounds shit. Mate, fuck it. Who are you, David Goggins? That sounds really bad. I know that sounds horrible. Actually, sounds awesome to go in and do a 20-minute pump and come out like, all right, bitch, yeah, check that out. Fucking, like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, tell you what, he's walking in like
people are not calling him Pantmobic now.
Mate, he's basically, this is Pimp's idea of cool. Like, oh, hey guys, I'm just gonna go and sit down. Fucking, I'll be riding for 30 kilometers. That's like his
walk like a crab.
I know.
I'm surprised people are not calling him fat phobic now, because like
Yeah.
he's against like being
Oh, true.
obese,
Yeah,
you know.
exactly. What I'm totally accepting.
It's gonna
It
come.
probably
Like, it's
will.
gonna
It
come.
will.
People are gonna start
Yeah.
hating him because he's fat phobic.
We just gave them the ammo.
Depends.
We just gave the haters the ammo with that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we have another take? Is there another
I
one?
think it's Maui's turn. I think it's Maui's turn.
I got one. This is probably gonna get Cassatt even more angry than the last one
Okay.
about Pimp. I actually think that with the new NRG lineup, I actually think Breeze is gonna be very good again. I actually think
Fuck it.
I think Bre
He saved this one to the end, didn't he? Where's this coming from completely
Yeah.
out of nowhere? Okay.
I think Breeze has found
Fucking
the
hell.
motivation to make him a good player again. And I say this with just like the craziest level of conjecture and limited resources and details, but Breeze yesterday in like a 24-hour period played like something like 17 pugs. This is when Breeze was at his
Okay.
actual best ever, when he was a top 20 player in the world. He was just grinding pugs in North America. He was always on leaderboards for ESEA pugs. He was always just playing like, again, like double digit pugs every single day. And now that I'm playing a bit of face it here in North America, I played against him, and he's like the only player I've played against that it's like, oh, there's an aura around this guy when he's playing in these games. And it's
Okay.
sure, these are just like, just face it games in North America or whatever. But usually I can just like, I don't really worry if someone's alive, but like Breeze would always get these multi frags in late round situations, just like trying to like outmaneuver everybody, just perfect aim and stuff like that. There was a clear difference between him and all
Love
these
the
other
way the
people I
dunk
played
will kick.
in other tier two players that I played.
I just love that. Here's the
Yeah.
thing you've got to give Maui credit for, Kassad. Even if there is nothing to work with, he'll just make something up. He'll be like, and then in these pogs I was playing with him, like, what the fuck? That's counting as well. Like, before it was online tournaments for Norbert. Now it's like a pog he played against Breeze himself. Like, I mean, here's the thing. These are unique angles. Keep going. Keep hitting me with it. Come
Yeah,
on.
yeah, yeah. So, and the thing is, okay, well, basically, with Breeze before, he had his fall off because, I mean, I want to give him some leeway here, give him some rope that this EG management thing was just terrible, and like there was no
Okay.
idea like what was going on behind the scenes, but it just seemed to kill everybody's motivation. Everyone played worse than they were probably capable of, but he's going to be reunited with Daps more or less. Like that's I guess there's no real rumor for that, but they were queuing like all
It's
these games
implied that's
together.
the lineup they're going to make. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so if it's Daps, Breeze, OC, got to see who the other
This
two
is the
players are.
NRG lineup
Is
we're
Zeps
talking about here,
playing? Is
right?
Zeps playing?
It's
I think
implied
Daps
he's
is
going
going
to,
to play.
yeah.
I think Daps is going to play. Daps, I mean, if Daps is playing 15 pugs a day also, I think he's going to probably
Sounds
play.
like he's going to be a player,
So,
yeah.
yeah, so I think that Breeze is going to be a star rifler again. I think OC has a chance to actually see some market improvement because, I mean, Daps just knows how to use AWPers when he's the in-game leader. Like Cirque, the difference between Cirque when he was playing under other in-game leaders and when he was playing under Daps is pretty night and day, actually. He goes from a top 20 player to actually a mediocre AWPer at the tier one level. So I think that there's a good chance that OC's going to find some form again, Breeze is going to find some form again, and I'm not going to go as far to say Breeze is going to be a top 20 player again, but the take is simply that Breeze against, I'll say like a six in a 6 month window at the start of 2024, Breeze will against top 20 opposition have above a 1.1 rating, 1.1 or better rating,
He's not
which
gonna
seems
get to play
crazy.
against any top
Based off of
20
what he's done, it's
opposition.
crazy.
Listen, first thing, he's not gonna get to play against tier one opposition, 20 top 20 players. Who is he gonna play against? What is he gonna play? The next 12 months are still the partnership leagues are still, online. They're still a thing. So what is NRG going to play? They're gonna have to play the open close qualifiers, cash cups, and probably like whatever qualifiers comes after that, right? With the lineup they have, OC, he's a solid player, really good. Daps, I don't think he needs to play anymore. He have shown strengths that he can be a coach, that he can be a person that can control the team and direct the team in a position where they can be better, right? He doesn't need to play anymore. I get that there is a competitive spirit. I get that you want to compete. I get that you want to shoot people, but you're not good enough. So do what you're good enough, and that's being a coach and lead the team in that way. Direct players, develop players, get energy to be like a squad that Maui wanted them to be, right? You playing is not going to get you there. I can guarantee you that. But the take is about Breeze. Breeze has no chance to be the player that he was, or even close to it. Simply because he's not good enough anymore. We saw these things before. We saw these things with much stronger players. Example being called Zera, Fur, all these team names, all these names that are like Get Right, all these people that were super, super good, one of the top tier players that we ever had. Once you go down, you stay down. Unless you do something crazy. And no, I don't think he's capable or smart enough to do something in that magnitude. Because once he noticed, because to be the top tier player, and you need to be like, in a way, smart about the game, smart about yourself, right? You don't have to be the smartest person on the planet, but about the game, you need to be smart and about yourself. If you saw things that were happening in EG, and you are smart enough, you would leave immediately from that camp. He stayed there for 2 years, even more, and dragged himself to the bottom. And now he gets another chance to get more paychecks in NRG, to compete even more. I don't think he's going to be even close to 1.1 rating against top 20, top 10, whatever you said. Because, like I said, next 12 months, different reasons, next 12 months, they have nothing to play for. Think of the North American and South American region when it comes to the RMR. Like, who's going to be there? Liquid, maybe, because we don't know yet. Furia, Complexity, who else is there? Nouns, M80, teams. Whatever, yeah. All the Brazilian teams.
Imperial, yeah.
Imperial. Who is NRG going to be capable with OC and Debs and Breeze the way it is right now, despite the fact that he can play 44 scrims a day? If he doesn't get him anything, it doesn't mean anything, right? The same goes, like, it's just not there. The point is, there is no team and there is no opportunity for him, and there is no skill anymore for that team to be anything more than average.
The problem I have with this topic is I actually do think it touches on one of the biggest, I will just say, mysteries of esports, which is, even though people haven't aged to the point that, like, they physically can't play the game anymore, or it's not like they're burned out after 20 years of being like an NHL player. Somehow we have like the shortest time span of people being really world class compared to any sport that out there. Like, even sports that are short lived, like American football, people can be the best for 10 years in that. Like, you can't, in CS, like, 1 year feels like 3 or 4 years in a sport. It's like you get so little. It's why when you are people like the Simples, the Zeros, the Nico, that's why people, I always used to say, they're aliens. I put them in a different category. I don't count them like normal people. Like, the joke is, I actually have seen from their careers that even though he was once the best in the world, someone like Olaf Meister and Colas, they aren't like Nico and Simple. They don't have this just insane level of talent that somehow those guys, my analogy would be, it's like those guys, the analogy would be, it's like they know where all the oil in the world is. And even if they run out now, they can just dig down another area and tap in and they've got the oil again. These guys, it's like they had one oil well, and when it runs dry, it's over. And I'm sorry, unfortunately, even though, like Maui says, like, this is why it's a mystery though, because I have seen at the end of their careers, like when Guardian was on that fucking bad Na'Vi lineup at the end, or when Kenny S was coming back this last year, dude, I've watched them play on stream sometimes. I've watched them play like Faceit games. Sometimes in the Faceit game or on stream, they look as good as they ever were. I'm not even joking. Like, they're hitting all the shots and you think, fuck, is it still there? Is it like right under the surface? But then you watch them in the officials and they're not even ever coming close. Like, they're actually like half as good. So first of all, I think unfortunately just lesser competition makes people look a lot better. I mean, I always used to say to people back in the day, you might laugh at like Fiflarin and Nip or like Smiths when he was on G2. They would fucking murk you all in a pickup. Like, no joke, Smiths would look like Simple in that pickup. Like, he'd just be hitting every AWP shot. You'd never get to him and you'd be like, what, who's this guy? Like, no, he's the same guy. You're all different. That's the problem. So unfortunately, basically, I'm with Kassad. It's been too many years now. Like, if we're talking realistically, I actually think he hasn't been good since like after the first year of the online era. So we're talking like 2021, last year, and then this year, he's basically been nobody, irrelevant, if not times bad, actually, bearing in mind, by the way, he was making an enormous salary. And as far as I know, he was still given like star positions at times in some of these teams. So the big problem is, I do think he is a tragedy. Like, if you look at his career building up, there was those years from 2017 into 2019, each year, his level of like where he was competing and the world was going up. And by the end of 2019, this guy was tracking to be like one of the best CS players ever. Like, he could have been like, a bit like people like Naf and Twist get to like not just be NA. They're like, for all the great players, they're great players in history. He was tracking to be that, but he never made it. The online era just killed this guy's game. And it's tragic because I do think, sadly, if this was like 1 year after online, I'd go maybe. Like I say, though, it's like 3 years of just, he's either phoning it in or he isn't good at CS anymore. So sadly, I don't believe in him anymore. I think it's tragic, but I don't believe it.
It's not the online era that killed him. It's himself that kind of killed his career. Like, you mentioned Neff and you mentioned Twist. What did Twist do? When he got, like, in a bad form, in a bad position. He made the move. He went to Europe. NAF did the same thing when he got the opportunity to go to Liquid from us, from Renegades. He was doing well there. He didn't need to go. It was like, oh, yeah, maybe, I'm just gonna go there. Not Cirque, but Breeze could have done the same. Like, okay, this is not going well in EG for me. My stock is still high. I can still do this. Where can I go? Should I go to Complexity? Should I go to ask to go to Liquid? Should I go back to Europe? There are teams for me there. No, he decided to stay in that little comfortable position where he's doing nothing and getting paid. And that's where he ended up with. And now he's getting another chance, thanks to God. The reason why, to answer your first kind of argument, is like when you said like there is the longevity of the players in CS is different than the normal traditional sports. It's because of the system behind the players. Like in NHL, do you think the Bruins or the Red Wings or whatever, right, have the proper system behind behind their training facilities, behind their management? Like all the systems are in place. When you see a player going down, there's a bunch of coaches, bunch of strategies, bunch of tactics to get that player up to shape or transfer them or sell them. Right now, we don't have that in CS. Players are going down. I gave the example of Cold Zera. He didn't adapt his game since 2016. If he did that, he would still be on top. If Nico can do it, if Device could do it,
Sure.
Elish can do it, why not Cold Zera?
Yeah.
Because he was talented enough. He was
Yes.
twice in a row the best player in the world. If he adapted, if there was some system behind him to adapt him to the game, he would still be on top. And he had a chance in FaZe, but that team took. Turned to shit, and then he went to the Brazilians because nobody would tell him like, listen, you don't want to do that because there is no prospect. Stay in Europe, fight your way through, and then go back to the top. No, he decided to do that himself and stay in Brazil and do whatever. And now he's irrelevant completely, right? And like I said, in different sports, there are support systems. There are like things to do when the players are getting down in their form. In CS, we don't have anything. You said there's oil wells that you can train from different organizations because they hired idiots that would look at the 2019 Breeze or 2018 Breeze and say like, oh, he must be still fucking good 5 years later. Let's pay him another 30K, because he has 100K followers and he would did an ace against fucking Navi in 2019. Like that doesn't work, and he had this rate. It doesn't fucking work. Like get your shit together. So yeah, I'm against Maui as usual on this one.
As usual.
Yes, had to add that part.
Okay. Is there another one? Is there another hot take for the end?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm done
I
for
can do
today.
one more. Here's the thing, though. The sad part about this one is this is one of those ones where I can't tell if it's just a good point or a hot take. I feel like it's a hot take, though, if I frame it correctly. So I'll try and set up the framing to make it work. Right. It's basically, I'm sort of low key going to agree that like partnership systems did cause problems, but I want to phrase it this way. It's not that I have an issue with like Blast Premier Circuit or even some of the ways they ran the tournaments or the online thing. The biggest problem though is that thing where if you just didn't buy a slot, there's just so few teams come through the showdown that what it means is on every single Blast season, once you get to the finals, it's why every time, I'm sure you all have the same experience I do, you see it come up on the Liquipedia, you pull it up and you go, remind myself, who's qualified again? And every time you're like, I mean, it's all
Oh,
right, I
please.
guess. Yeah, it's all right. These 8 teams are okay. You never look, like I said, with the World Final one, which I remember can qualify from other tournaments. You look at the World Final one now and you're like, fuck, yes! This is what I want. Give me that tournament. So the real problem you have in this scenario is two of the Blast events are essentially like, if we were to count now, because the circuit's smaller, you have the majors. So one to two, let's say two, well, between one and two, but let's say two majors. You have Katowice and Cologne, there's four events. After that, Blast is equally as good as all the rest. Like a Blast Finals is the same as an ESL Pro League or, yeah, there's different sample size, but like they're not that enormously different for this tournament. So the problem is, actually, if you are teams that either conversely are bad, like NIP, who just have a spot, or you're an amazing team like an Ensign, you don't, it just has too big an effect. Because when I looked at it, like the teams that really showed me this was the old Vitality before they bought their slot, and then in the modern day, it's Ents and Virtus Pro Outsiders. It doesn't matter how good these teams are. It caps them that they can't play at the Blast events. And so when they don't play at the Blast event, and some other guy, like an Imperial, waltzes to like some bullshit top four, it's just making it makes it the knock-on effect essentially in the scene is really detrimental because in history when we talk about who the best teams are, Of course, accomplishments factor into it. That's one of the main things we judge. But essentially, if certain teams play two or more real tournaments and then other top teams don't even get to play that event or just don't make it through the, like, one fucking Willy Wonka golden ticket from online play, then it just has too big an impact. Because when I looked at it, it means it affects your world ranking. A world ranking then affects itself, invites to tournaments, like even ESLs. Then it affects things like the narrative. Like I said about the best example is, like, Outsiders, they won the major and then they were up last fall, then they had to sit on their hands and then go to the world finals, and that didn't matter at that point in time. Like, all that momentum was blown, a chance to, like, really be number one was blown, it was all gone. And so I think it's not that partnerships are bad, it's like I say, I just think the Blast system skewed, like, essentially what will be the history of CS after the online era. Like, when I think back now, I even feel like now we should have been doing a little bit more of an asterisk on some of the world rankings. Like, some of those, like the obvious one for me is people like Astralis. The amount of times teams like that have just benefited from being at these tournaments is nuts.
Blast partnership is the biggest garbage that we have ever had in CSGO. Like, their system. Yeah, biggest garbage.
Sure.
Biggest fucking garbage. Simply because they limited the spots. Look at the showdown. So basically, you have these bozos. You have these fucking rocket scientists that prioritize the number of games that you play so they can put out more content and more watching hours and everything, when you have all the teams playing each other 50 fucking times. I guarantee you, in private, if you talk to 100 players from all these participated in the Blast partnership events that were a part of partners, they will tell you that's shit. Publicly, they can't say it. Privately, they will say it 100 out of 100. Okay. Because they hate it. Because they don't like playing each other 55 times. The audience doesn't like it because it decreases the quality of games. The players don't like it. The only one who benefits is the guy who decided that he wants a certain amount of hours being streamed on fucking Twitch or whatever, right? That is the primary thing. The second thing that I dislike is the fact that even if you play like shit in the group stage, you get to play the showdown. While these teams that are struggling, you know, have to go through 16 fucking qualifiers to get to the showdown and play another qualifier that's single elimination, best of three. Why? Because somebody paid more to have the privilege to play all the events, right? And they get the points. How many teams have been disbanded, or how many players got fired? How many players received stopped receiving salary because they couldn't make up the rankings? While somebody is just showing up on an event, like MIBR, for example, or OG, showing up on an event, getting the points, being constantly in top 30, getting other invites to close qualifiers and everything. It wasn't just pair. ESL had a similar thing. The one thing that didn't agree with ESL is the formats of the Pro League and different things, but at least they have the national championships in Poland, UK, France, I don't even know where, where you can qualify for Pro League. You have these little things that can get you to Pro League, at least to get you in a position to play 5 group stage matches. Maybe if you get into the playoffs, you get points, you get more invites to the close qualifier, then you can play against better teams, show yourself, and earn your spot. Look at Ents. Let's compare Ents and MIBR. MIBR is a Blast team, I believe, and they get to play every Blast. And then Ents is a team that kind of is one of the best in the past 2 years, and they don't get to play it because the schedule is fucked, the system is fucked, and they just cannot get there. And Snappy was... Openly,
by the way, technically, you know, MIBR sold their slot to Heroic, I believe. But okay, keep going. They used to have a
but
slot.
But it was
there,
in the past 3 years, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just, and you can look at Heroic now, the team that's falling apart completely, and they're going to be playing the finals, right? Or the fall finals, whatever it is. Like, it's just so fucked, and I'm so glad that it's over. You know, the Lua, I don't know how they're going to do it legally, because it's going to be tangled up as fuck with the revenue, with the money they pay, hard, the money they need to, we need to get back, or how the fuck is that going to work, right? Because Valve decided, rightfully so, to make the partnerships go away and make the things more open circuit, which is kind of something that I want. I don't mind the partnerships to some degree. I get what they wanted to accomplish, but it was just too closed. Like, you can open up so many spots, you don't have to give the revenue share to the teams in Blast that are going to be qualifying for different things, but you can let them play. At least to earn some points on your events instead of receiving this garbage closed partnership fucking bullshit that nobody likes beside people in Blast. And then here we are.
If people don't know, by the way, that is also why it's not as simple as Valve just waking up like, right, no more partner system. Because as Cassad says, as far as I know, these slots cost like six figures. Like, they're not cheap. So the point, and by the way, if you are like, think about the heroic examples game. You just bought in recently because you have a really good team. Like, you can't just turn around. Sorry, it's closed down now. Like, some of that money probably legally has to come back now, which by the way, also means like ESL and Plus, that's not great for them. So I agree. I have no idea how they're going to untangle it. I think that's the fucking $1 million question right there, right?
Yeah, it's how many resources have been used for Heroic to get into this partnership.
Exactly.
For Loomer, for example. For, as I remember, in 2021, it was between $5 and $7 million to get to the Loomer agreement, to the Loomer like selected teams. And you need to jump through 6 months of hoops delivering the different kind of documentation and data and history and where the money is coming from and who is being handling the whole organization, who is doing what for 6 months. And that's additional resources for the employees that were working for that, the lawyers, the all the legal departments and everything, HR and fucking God knows what else. Where is that money? If I get my $7 million that I paid for the slot, where is the money that I invested to get for the slot, to get through all these hoops that Blast posted and ESL posted to get into these partnerships? Who is going to be paying for that? Is that money down the drain? You know, it's not black and white as people think, but it's very fucked up right now. And I'm just glad it will take them a year to untangle this fuck up they made in the past 5 years. So, yeah, here we are.